Welcome to Worship in the Word with Pastor Robert Morris. We recently started a new series called You Are Here, where Pastor Robert is sharing about the four different levels of spiritual growth we experience in our lives as Christians. And in today's message, Pastor Robert shares about how to move from beginning a relationship with God to really becoming close with God. I hope you're ready for a powerful message. Let's tune in now.
We're in a series called You Are Here. And I want to remind you that I told you this, like we began the series last weekend, that the You Are Here sign is mainly to tell us how to get to where we want to go from where we are. And I believe that there's a parable in Mark chapter 4, and it's really, we're not going to be able to read the whole parable again. We read it last weekend, but it's verses 1 through 20. Jesus tells the parable, then they asked him about it, and he made this statement. Remember this statement. He said, "Do you not understand this parable?" Verse 13, he said, "How are you going to understand all the parables if you can't understand this one?" And then he explains it, so it's very important. And this parable reminded me of a survey that we took here at Gateway Church, along with about 525 other churches, 180,000 people, and it showed that everyone that was attending church was in four groups of people, and there are four groups of people in Mark chapter 4. So just to remind you of that, we drew four circles last weekend to represent these four groups of people. And we put the cross here because there are people that are attending church that haven't come to the cross yet, haven't been saved yet. And that's great. I'm glad. I'm very, very glad they're here. We call this first group Exploring God. I was talking to someone yesterday, and I said, did you like the message last weekend? And she said, yes. She cuts my hair. And I said, well, what do you remember about it? She said, I remember EC, BC, GC, DC. I said, you need to go back and listen to it again. You failed. So this first group is exploring God, all right? Then when you come to the cross, this group is beginning in God. They're beginning their relationship in God. As we continue to grow, these people are close to God, and then these people are God-centered. And remember, God-centered, GC, also stands for Gateway Church. That's correct. All right. And we put some words over these. Last week, we called the message fellowship. These people are beginning to fellowship with other believers and learning about God. These people have come now into a relationship with God. And that's the title, by the way, of this week's message, if you want to put that. We're going to talk about relationship this week. These people are learning more about discipleship. And then these people are really walking in the reality of lordship. And I also told you last weekend and showed you the picture. Michael Jr. sent me. He was, you know, at another church. And he, when he got back, he listened to the message online, which I want all of you to do. If you ever miss a week, listen to it sometime during the week. Listen to the message so you stay up to date where we are. But Michael Jr. Sent me a text, said, great message. And he said, I was thinking about all the ships that you had, and I thought that the enemy's plan is to get us to abandon ship. I thought that was pretty good. By the way, even if you abandon ship, God will never abandon you. You need to know that. God will never leave you or forsake you. He'll never abandon you. But if you abandon ship, you can get swallowed by a whale, and that stinks. So, And you can put the word growing above all of these because every person is growing. And if you ever stop growing, you'll go backward. Just one other thing I want to remind you of. When we did this survey, we found the way these people moved from group one to group two was they chose to believe a truth that caused them to make that move, and that was the truth of grace. These people moved from group two to group three because they chose to believe that God's word is true and is the final authority and how they make all their decisions in their lives. These people move from group three to group four when they understood the truth of giving, not just giving their finances, but giving their life away to the kingdom of God. Now, also, this week, I was thinking about these three truths, and I remembered a scripture. And remember, all of this is overcoming the enemy. Mark chapter 4, he's telling us the enemy is going to try to steal the word from you. He's going to persecute you for the word. He's going to try to choke the word, but you need to accept the word. So it's all about battling the enemy here. I want to show you a verse that shows these three truths. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, "And they overcame him," that's the enemy, watch, "by the blood of the Lamb," that's grace, "by the word of their testimony," that's God's word, "and they did not love their lives to the death," that's they gave their lives away for the kingdom of God. Is that good? Okay, even if you don't think it's good, say it's good. I thought that was good. Okay. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb," that's grace, "the word of their testimony," that's God's word, "and they loved not their lives unto death," that's giving, all right? All right, so in Mark chapter 4, we want to talk about this second group now, those who are beginning in God. Again, I wish I had time to read the whole thing, but look at verses 16 and 17. This is Jesus explaining it. "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it." These are people who've received the word with gladness. "And they have no root in themselves." They have no root. They're new in their faith. "And so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake," the enemy comes at them for the word's sake, "immediately they stumble." So I have two points for you this week. The first point is, what's Satan's plan? It'd be good for us to know what Satan's plan is. All of these, remember, talk about the word. Satan in group one is trying to steal the word, lest they believe and be saved. We saw last week. He is trying to persecute them for the word's sake, bring tribulation. He is trying to choke the word. That's next weekend's message. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares for other things. Choke this world, choke the word. And then the fourth group, accept the word. So the battle is always against the word. Look at verse 4, Mark 4, verse 4. "It happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it." Now watch this. "The birds of the air came." And then they asked him to explain it. And in verse 15, he explains that one verse. He explains the whole parable, but this verse. "These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." Now, let me just remind you that shocked us last weekend, that Satan could take the word out of your heart. I'm going to show you later today how you can keep Satan from taking the word out of your heart. There's a scripture that tells us how, okay? But here's the point. Satan is trying to take the word out of our hearts. It's sown in our hearts. But when Jesus tells this, he says the birds of the air. Now, when I was beginning in God, I was learning the word. I'm going to tell you some things that helped me to learn the word of God. What helped me to get excited about the word and to read the word was I saw this parabolic language, this symbolic language all through the Bible. All through the Bible. Remember we talked last weekend that Jesus spoke in parables, right? Okay. When you understand that the book is all true, but it has a lot of parabolic, a lot of symbolic language in it, it's exciting to uncover these meanings. Let me say it another way. Did Jesus speak in parables? Okay. John 5, Jesus said, "I don't do anything unless I first see my Father do it." Okay, Jesus spoke in parables, but he doesn't do anything unless he first sees the Father do it. So here's a question for you. When did he first see his Father do it? In the Old Testament. Now listen to me carefully. The Old Testament's true. It's completely true. It's not a parable. It's true. But it has parabolic language in it. Let me show you a couple of scriptures. Psalm 78, verse 2 says, "I will open my mouth in a parable." This is the Old Testament. "I will open my mouth in a parable." Let me just show you one verse that is in the Old Testament that is parabolic. All right, watch. Ezekiel 30, verse 21. "Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Okay. That's God talking. It says, "Thus says the Lord." The Lord's talking to Ezekiel. He says, "I've broken the arm of Pharaoh." Okay, listen to me. God never broke his arm physically. He never broke his literal arm. We have no record of that. It's not what he's talking about. He's speaking symbolically, right? He's saying, I broke his power. I broke his strength. That's what I did. So God does this a lot through Scripture. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because when you begin to see it, it causes this book to come alive to you and just jump off the page. This is a great thing when you're beginning in God, or even when you're growing in God, or close to God, or God-centered. It's wonderful to see these things in Scripture. So remember, here's one that I'm going to show you. Jesus said, the birds of the air, the birds come. They said, well, who are the birds? He said, well, that's Satan. Now, when the Bible speaks of Satan, it's not always talking about the person of Satan only. It's talking about the work of Satan, because he has a third of the angels fell with him. He has demonic spirits that do his work. Spiritual hosts of wickedness, principalities and powers, all right? So, demons. Let me show you another verse where it talks about birds, and you'll see very clearly it's talking about demonic spirits. Revelation 18, verse 2 says, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Babylon is fallen. It's become a place of demons, foul spirits, and birds. Okay, that's not talking about literal birds. It's talking about demons, demonic spirits. Okay, listen to me. I'm not saying that if you have a parakeet, it's a demon, okay? I'm not saying that, okay? It might have a demon, because we know pets can be demon-possessed. We know that. My son had a dog that was demon-possessed. His name was Luke. I said, son, that's short for Lucifer. So, and they figured out he was demonized, and so they gave him away to another family here in Gateway. And then they shot him. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I'm joking, okay? I love animals. I love them, okay? They taste great, okay? But no, I'm joking again, okay? Right. I'm just joking, okay? All right. So actually, the family then gave him to them. Actually, 42 Gateway families have owned this dog now. So, okay, here's the point. When you read birds in Revelation 18, what are you going to do with that? Do you really believe that there are going to be literal birds flying around when it says it's Babylon has become a place of demons, foul spirits, and birds? And if you go back to Mark 4, Jesus said, now listen, birds represent the demonic spirits. Let me show you another verse. In Deuteronomy, it's talking about the blessings and the curses. He says, if you follow me and obey me, these blessings are going to come on you. But if you disobey me, These curses are going to come on you. And listen to one of the curses. Deuteronomy 28, 26. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. Now, again, think about Mark 4. Jesus said, the birds of the air come. They said, well, who are the birds there? Well, that's Satan. That's who that is. Jesus himself said that. So when I was young in the Lord, and I'm reading in Deuteronomy, and he said, listen, you walk away from me, and the birds of the air are going to come after you. I thought, I know what the birds of the air are. I saw that in Mark chapter 4. And then it says beasts. Birds and beasts are mentioned in the Old Testament together 44 times. 44 times. And let me show you a verse where it's obvious, again, that beasts are talking about the demons, the demonic spirits. I'll show you. This is a verse that talks about God's sheep and God's shepherds. Okay, he's not talking about, this is parabolic language. I don't know of any theologian that would disagree with this. He's not talking about literal sheep and literal shepherds. And if you want to know, well, how do you know for sure that sheep is referring to God's people? Psalm 100, verse 3. The Lord, you go through Psalm 100, but what's Psalm 100, verse 33 say? We are the sheep of his pasture. John 10 tells us he's the shepherd. Corinthians tells us that we pastors are under shepherds. We shepherd with him. So he's not talking about literal sheep and literal shepherds. He's talking about his people and pastors. But watch what happens when pastors don't feed his sheep, okay? Ezekiel 34, verse 5 says, they, that's talking about the sheep, were scattered because there was no shepherd, watch, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Now, see, this is what bothers me. is people will say, now that says sheep, that's not talking about real sheep, that's talking about people, God's people. And it says shepherds, but it's not talking about real shepherds, it's talking about pastors. But now beasts of the field, that's lions and tigers. No, that's not literal beast, that's spiritual beast. There are spiritual beasts that want to come after you and spiritual birds that want to come after you. Let me show you a verse that every one of you already believe in types and shadows. Every one of you already believe in symbolic language, and every one of you. Because when we read the first part of it, we're just going to read the first part of it first, then we'll talk about it. Every one of you know who this is talking about. Genesis 3:1 says, now the serpent, okay, let me ask you something. Who's the serpent? How do you know? Well, we just know. Okay, when I say something represents something, I can give you book, chapter, and verse. I'll never tell you this represents this without giving you book, chapter, and verse. Revelation 12:9 says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Okay, so we know. Obviously, we know that it was Satan. But do you realize Genesis 3 never says Satan? It just says serpent. But we know who the serpent is, right? Everyone knows. Okay, so here's what I'm asking you. We assign a spiritual meaning to serpent. We say that's talking about Satan. Is it possible there's another spiritual meaning in the verse? Remember, there are also other fallen angels, demonic spirits. Watch the rest of the verse. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. Is it possible that that is saying in the spiritual language, Satan is the most cunning of all the fallen angels? I'm telling you, there's a lot in this book we haven't seen. It's amazing. When Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted 40 days, Satan was there tempting him. The angels, the good angels, were there ministering to him. Do you think it's possible that the demons, the fallen angels, were also there attacking him? Watch this verse, because it doesn't make any sense to me unless you see spiritual language in the Bible. Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Immediately the Spirit drove him, Jesus, into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Okay, I don't think that's talking about lions and bears. The one who could stop the mouths of lions, it wouldn't tell us. Now, there were also lions and bears there, and Jesus had to hide sometimes and climb trees and all. No, it means the hordes of hell were there. The principalities and powers and the spiritual host of wickedness, they were all there trying to come against the Son of God. But it tells us they were wild beasts. Okay, let me just show you a couple more. These are things that jumped out at me when I was beginning in God, all right? Shows me that it caused the Bible to just, every day I couldn't wait to read the Bible to see what else was in there that I didn't know, that I couldn't, had never heard of. Isaiah 4, verse 1 says that in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own food and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. Now, didn't that bless you? That's one of those verses you read before you go to bed, you close the Bible, and you think, I don't have any idea what I just read. But when you understand there are types and shadows in the Bible, women represent churches. The church is the bride, not the groom, the bride of Christ. And all through Scripture, women will represent churches, and I could show you lots of verses on that. And in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it talks about seven women, seven churches. And those seven churches represent the end-time church. The Bible also talks about the one man, the new Adam, Jesus. Now watch this. Is it possible that this is what this verse is saying, symbolically? And in that day, this is Isaiah. Now Isaiah, when he says that in that day, he's talking about the last days. And in the end times, the churches, lots of churches, they're going to take hold of one man, Jesus. But they're going to say to him, let us eat our own food. Let us teach our own doctrines. And let us wear our own apparel, clothes, always have to do with righteousness. He's clothed us with his righteousness. Let us have our own form of righteousness. Let us teach our own doctrines, and let us have our own form of righteousness, but let us still be called by your name to take away our reproach. We still want to be Christians, but the culture's changing, God. You got to understand that what was wrong 40 years ago, it's right today. It's not right. It's still wrong. It's still wrong. That makes a whole lot more sense to me than seven women marrying one man. Because women are smarter than that, and they won't put up with that. So, all right, let me show you one more. Leviticus 26:26. When I've cut off your supply of bread, now you ought to already be thinking, what's bread represent? Represents the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Bread, all through Scripture, represents the word of God. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me a word from you today, God. When I cut off, this is when they walked away from God. I'm going to cut off your revelation. When I cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven. They shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat it and not be satisfied. Okay, is it possible? Here's what he's saying. When you walk away from me, when the church starts walking away from me and having their own form of righteousness, their own form of holiness, I'm cutting off your revelation. I'm going to make it dry for you. When I do this, lots of different churches are going to prepare your Sunday school lessons in one place. They're going to bake your bread in one oven. They're going to bring it back to you and measure it out by weight. They're going to give you about 2 to 3 verses a week, and you'll eat it, and you'll not be satisfied. Wow. You won't be satisfied. You ever been in a church like that? You open up your Sunday school book, and you think, we only get 3 scriptures this week. It's all we get for the whole week. Are y'all following me?
Yes.
Okay, this is good preaching. If you don't know what good preaching looks like, this is what it looks like right here. So it's real simple. Point one, what's Satan's plan? His plan is to keep you out of this book. And let me tell you something, by the way. There might be some things in this book you hadn't seen. And I haven't seen. And this is a good book, by the way. It was written by a genius. Did y'all know that? Smarter than me. Smarter than you. All right, here's number two. Well, what's God's plan? If Satan's plan is to keep us away from this book, what's God's plan? Well, Mark 4, verse 20, if you're still in Mark 4, says, these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. I'm tell you real simple. God would like for you to bear fruit. He'd like for you to be successful in your marriage, in your family, in your health, in your finances, in your business. He wants you. You want your children to succeed. He wants you to have a good life and enjoy your life. He created all this for you to enjoy. He really did. But the only way you're going to bear fruit, have a good life, a prosperous, successful life, is if you accept the word. That's it. You got to know the word of God. That's what he's saying here. Now, we talked last week about friendship, and we compared this to God becoming your friend, God becoming your best friend, and then God becoming that lifelong spouse that you'll die for, okay? Now, what about school? Take another analogy, school. Okay, these people haven't even started school yet. They're daycare. They haven't even started school yet. Okay, they're just learning. But then they start going to school. This would be like grade school, and in grade school, much of what you do is in class. You go to class to learn. You don't have a lot of work outside of class. I don't remember in kindergarten my kindergarten teacher ever saying to me, "Color 3 pictures and take 2 naps before you come back tomorrow." We did all that in class, right? Okay, so this is grade school. This would be like high school. High school, you start having to do some work outside of class, more work outside of class. You have some more homework because you got to do more outside. Listen, as you start getting close to God and growing in God, you're going to have to start reading some on your own. You're going to have to start growing in God on your own. You're going to have to start doing some work outside of class. This would be like college. You remember what they said in college? I remember several professors saying this. I don't care if you come or not. You can lose all the money you want if you want to. It's not up to me to get you to study, not up to me to get you to work. And I remember professors also saying, if you don't spend 3, 4, 5 hours, you remember this? Didn't you hate them? If you don't spend 3, 4, 5 hours outside of the 1 hour you spend in this class, you're not going to pass. You remember that? Okay, listen to me. If you don't spend 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours studying this book outside of the 1 hour you spend in church every week, you're not going to make it. Because you got birds and beasts that are coming after you. They're coming after you. You got to know this book. So I want you to understand that's God's plan is for you to bear fruit. But the only way you bear fruit is to accept the word, to understand the word, believe the word. Now, Psalm 119. I don't know if I told you to turn there. I told the people last night. If you want to, you can. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. So if you're going to memorize a chapter, don't start with Psalm 119. Start Psalm 134. Or one, say Psalm 117. It's good. It's two verses. So start with that one. Psalm 119 is 176 verses. But Psalm 119 keeps saying, thy word, your precepts, your laws, your commandments, your statutes, all that's symbolic for the word of God. So all that commandments, precepts, statutes, principle, that's the word of God, okay? We read last weekend, we read in this parable, Satan's trying to steal the word out of your heart. Is there a way that we could keep him from stealing the word out of our heart? Real famous scripture, Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin, that I might not stumble. Remember, when persecution arises, they stumble, they fall, they sin. Your word I've hidden in my heart, so the enemy can't take it out of my heart. Okay, very simple. How do you hide God's word? Two words, scriptural word, meditate. A word to help us understand, meditate, memorize. I don't have time to read them, but Joshua 1 and Psalm 1. Psalm 1, the man who meditates on the word of God is like a green tree planted by the water, bears fruit in season. Joshua 1, you meditate on this word day and night that you may prosper and have good success in everything you do. You meditate, memorize it, memorize it. When I was beginning in God, I started memorizing scripture. Last April, most of you were here then, and you know, I went to Australia. They gave me some migraine headache medicine that caused internal bleeding. It caused internal bleeding in a major artery. I lost a third of my blood, over a third of my blood, in less than 24 hours. I was bleeding to death. The doctor told us, 2 more hours, you'd have been dead. 2 more hours. They took me to the hospital. I was in the waiting room, and I passed out. And I told you this last April, but if you're ever in the emergency room, waiting room, and they're taking too long, just pass out. Just pass out. They take you right back. It's just great. You go to the front of the line when you're unconscious. So anyway, take me back. They got the bleeding stopped. But when the doctor's telling you how much blood you've lost, and you know it, and you feel it. I mean, I felt like I was dying when I passed out. I had no control. I was gone. And to wake up and know I'm still alive, and then the doctor tell you, you know, you're about to die. And we've got the bleeding stopped. But then, you know, the doctor's gone. Debbie had to go. They wouldn't let her stay at the hospital. I'm there alone in the room that night. I couldn't sleep. I think because of the medicine they gave me, I could not sleep. I did not sleep 1 minute the first night. Not a minute. You know how you will sometimes? Not a minute. And in the middle of the night, the enemy's attacking. Death. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they've got this bleeding stopped or if it's going to start again. And I started having fear. And I remembered the word. I thought, I need the word. So I started, I didn't have my Bible with me or my laptop because, you know, we went to the emergency room. You know, you don't say, let me pack a bag, you know, when you're dying, you just go. So I didn't have my Bible with me, but I had hidden some in my heart. And so I started quoting scripture, and I remember starting at Genesis and thinking of every scripture in Genesis I could remember. And then Exodus, and then Leviticus, and the Numbers. When I got to Ezekiel, I remembered a scripture. And I remember when I got to Ezekiel, I remember the scripture. And then I thought, I have my phone with me, and I have my Bible on my phone. I don't know why I didn't think of that before, but and I think it was because God actually wanted me to go back to my heart, you know. But I got my Bible, and I looked it up, and I want to show you this verse that the Lord brought back to my mind that I had hidden in my heart. And you think about what this verse would mean to you if you were told that you might die and you were struggling with a blood issue. Ezekiel 16, verse 6 says, and when I passed by you, and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood, live. This is the only thing that'll help you. I can preach my heart out to you. If you don't get in this book, I can't help you.
We want you to just take a moment to think about what Pastor Robert shared today and really listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. If you want to connect with us or check out some of Pastor Robert's other messages, visit PastorRobert.com. And if you haven't already, go follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter so we can be a part of your community. We hope you found this message encouraging. Next time, Pastor Robert is going to share about how giving is part of our spiritual growth. We'd love to have you tune in with us then. Have a blessed day.